Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Jesus, you are so good. God, we thank you for the sacrifice you took on that cross. And God, we thank you that you overcame sin and death once and for all. That you are alive. You are on the throne right now. And God, we can turn to you. We can know that anything that's dead can come back to life. Anything that's broken can be restored because you showed us through the cross and through your resurrection. Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this Easter Sunday. God, we thank you for everything you've done for us. Would you speak to our hearts? Would you challenge us to be transformed, to be more like you today? In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And we all say, amen and amen. Well, you can take a seat. Welcome. Can we give up to the worship band and the sound guys? And man, woo! How good was that worship? Who had someone next to them that was singing like full belt? Anyone have someone next to them and you're like, wow, you can really sing? Maybe you're like, you cannot sing, but I love your passion. Thank God for worship leaders that can sing. Wow, what a packed house we have this morning. 8 baptisms later on this morning, and we're going to celebrate. We are going to party. We're going to celebrate lives changed this morning. Today is like the greatest day to celebrate Jesus. Resurrection Sunday, my favorite day of the year. Matthew 28:5-6. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay." Church, we need to get a bit excited. He is not here. He is risen. Okay, some of you. He is not here. He is risen. Just as he said. Now, I've got to tell you this morning, if your life has been transformed by Jesus and what he did on the cross and through his resurrection, I want you to give me a massive cheer right now. Okay. You know, today is not just another Sunday. Today is not just, it's Resurrection Sunday. It's the day that we gather to declare with all boldness and joy, he is risen. Jesus is alive. And that's why I love that worship, because there's people in this room, your hearts, your soul, your spirit. It's just like, yes, yes. This is what Jesus did. And I hope, even if you've never been to church before, I hope you meet Jesus today. He's alive and he wants to meet you. You know, Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He didn't stay on the cross. He didn't remain in that wrapped linen. You know, the stone was rolled away. And today, because of Jesus' resurrection, we can celebrate that death was defeated once and for all. Once and for all. Jesus made a way for us to be reconciled back to God the Father. Because of this resurrection, we can be secure in the fact that eternal life is possible through Jesus' death and resurrection. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. You know, Jesus' plan when he came to earth was always to go to the cross, okay? Sometimes we think, oh my gosh, the Romans put him there. The Jewish people crucified him. Jesus knew what he was doing. He went there willingly. He went there willingly. No nails were going to hold him to a cross. He decided to go there out of love for you, out of love for you and I. That's the power of this message. I love that Jesus had a plan. I love that Jesus didn't even hide his plan. He was really upfront throughout the 3 years of his ministry. He was really blatantly open about what he was here to do with his disciples, with the Pharisees, with the leaders, the teachers of the law. He was constantly telling people what he was going to do down the track, right? He's like, hey, there's going to be a time I'm going to die and I'm going to come back, okay? He knew where he was going, what he's doing. I can't tell you what I'm doing this afternoon, okay? He could tell you everything that was coming up and he could predict his own resurrection, which is pretty wild, okay? There's a statement in that line where the angel says, he is risen just as he said. Just as he said. Can I tell you, Jesus' words are trustworthy because he proved them time and time and time again. Nothing he said is not true. He said it and he did it. And we're going to celebrate that today. I want to have a look at a passage of scripture. If maybe you're new to church and you haven't heard about Jesus much, maybe someone dragged you along and said, there'll be hot cross buns, I swear, you know. come along. There might even be free coffee. Free coffee, I'm in, you know. But here's the deal. The good news is that Jesus rose from the dead. He overcame death. It's a famous passage of scripture that we hear often, but you've got to understand that Jesus is literally foretelling what's about to happen. Jesus, all-powerful, the Alpha and the Omega, he said that he was God, could see ahead in time what was going to happen. He knew it all. He knew the plan. This was not a mistake. John 3:16, we quote it often, says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Powerful message. But what you need to understand is contextually, this is a conversation that Jesus is having with a spiritual leader of the time, a Pharisee named Nicodemus. You got to understand that Jesus has just done some amazing things in the community. He's healing the sick. He's opening the eyes of the blind. He's providing mass food for crowds. This is a Jesus that's doing miracle after miracle. And at the time, he wasn't just a normal rabbi. People were watching him very closely going, this is not just a normal teacher. There were lots of teachers, but no teachers like Jesus. And if we actually go back to the start of John 3, we see the conversation that Jesus has with this leader of spirituality, this other leader that knew God and talked of God, but now he wanted to meet with Jesus. He's like, Jesus is different. And actually says he went and met Jesus at night in secret, okay? Because he's like, I can't be seen with Jesus, but I've got to ask him some questions, okay? We're going to read this, John 3, 1 to 17. "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you're doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born again when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Thank God that's not how we all become Christians, right? I mean, Nicodemus is very practical. He's like, born again, I don't want to do that, all right? And that's fair enough. Thank the Lord. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Today, when baptisms happen in the water, this is what's going on, a renewing, a new birth in water. People are coming later on today, and they're going to go into that water. And when they go under the water, they are saying, I'm dying to my old self, but I'm being reborn through water, coming to life, being alive like Jesus, okay? Being resurrected. My life is now changed forever because of Jesus. It's a representation of what happened over this Easter weekend for Jesus, from death to life. Jesus continues, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Before we go any further, I just want to go to that little verse there. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Maybe you passed over that before and you've just read that, go, what is that all about? Nicodemus is a teacher of the law. He knows the Jewish scriptures. He knows the stories of old. And this is a really powerful story in the Jewish history, because there was a moment where the Jewish people came under a plague. Snakes were biting the people with a curse. Many people are dying. And Moses goes to God and says, help us. And God says, make a pole and put a snake upon it and hold it up, and as the people gaze upon that pole, they will be healed from these bites. It saves the nation when he does that, right? And Jesus calls it out, and he says this in verse 14. Let's read it again. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. He's talking about his crucifixion. The Son of Man will be lifted up in front of all men. He will be lifted up in front of all men, that everyone who believes may have eternal life with him. He's saying, when I'm lifted up on that cross, you're not just going to receive some physical healing. You're going to receive an eternal healing if you put your faith in me. Your faith in me. What's fascinating, the World Health Organization, what's their symbol? A pole with a snake. They think that if you turn to them, you'll find your healing. Jesus is saying, that's physical. I've got eternal spiritual healing. This is why Jesus was already talking before his death. He's saying, hey, when I'm lifted up, all mankind, anyone who gazes upon me, puts their faith in me, will be healed. This is well before his crucifixion. The next verse after this statement is the one we know. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. He's talking about himself, that whoever believes him in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Not just physical life, eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. They haven't believed in the name of Jesus. They're already condemned. You're already dead. But he wants to bring you the life today. This is the good news. Jesus' plan the whole time he was ministering was saying, hey, I'm going to die. I'm going to come back to life so you can be alive. You are dead already. I'm going to show you the way. Don't believe me, Jesus constantly with his religious leaders is highlighting to them what he's about to do. He tells them these stories and it goes over their head. I reckon for Nicodemus, he probably missed the whole thing about the snake. He was probably still thinking about being reborn. You know, he probably had a moment where he's like, I'm still caught up in that. Quite often people missed it. They missed it even on the cross. You know, later on, it's like, as he said, that's right. The angel calls it out. He's done as he said. They all went, oh, that's right. Jesus talked about this for 3 years. This is happening. It's actually happening. Another story where Jesus says and shows them what's about to happen that Easter, that Good Friday. Matthew 12, 38 to 42, the sign of Jonah. Then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said to him, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Teacher, to believe in you, we need you to do a sign. We need you to do a miracle. How often do we do that with God? God, if you answer this prayer, then I'll follow you. Give me a sign. Then there's those really clever churches that pay for billboards. This is the sign you're looking for, right? But it's our human nature sometimes when it comes to faith. It doesn't make sense. Give me a sign. It was the same even for the leaders of the law back then. Jesus, just give us a sign. He answers them. A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. Now what Jesus is saying in this, who knows the story of Jonah? Two of you, great, our kids pastors will get the next generation, okay? Story of Jonah is an amazing story because Jonah gets called to the Ninevites. He gets told by God, you need to go to Nineveh to preach the good news and ask the people to repent because I want to save them. But if you don't go, they are all going to be destroyed because of their evil ways. Jonah, a good Jewish boy, decides, hell no, they don't deserve God's love. So I'm going to go the opposite direction. He ends up in this place called Jaffa on the side of the sea, gets on a boat that has no return guaranteed. In fact, they say this trip, the people that went on this trip never came back. Ultimately, it was a suicide mission. I'd prefer to die than to tell those people God loves them. He gets on the boat, goes out, and if you know the story, the winds rise up, there's a storm that comes, and Jonah realizes, he knows, because everyone's like, we're all going to die. He knows it's him. So he goes, guys, I'm cursed because I'm not doing what God told me. Throw me overboard. So they do. Jonah's like, haha, I'll die without God telling that they loved. These people are loved. I prefer to die in my righteous way. But God swallows him up by a giant fish. For 3 days, he has to sit there and think about his actions. You're in the naughty corner. You will think about your actions. I'm sure that 3 days would have, oh, the smell, the feeling, oh my gosh. But then this fish vomits Jonah up on the shore. Can you imagine that moment in itself? I mean, a bit embarrassing. Been thrown up by a fish on the sand. You look up, welcome to Nineveh. Are you flipping kidding me? God calls him to call them to repentance. You need to turn around. Can I tell you, Jonah, he had good reason for not wanting to go to these people. They were barbaric. Historically speaking, they were some of the evilest nations. They're evil in the city. They said the streets were lined with the skulls of their enemies coming in. The Ninevites were known for wearing the skin of their enemies. These people were bad people. They were evil, evil people. But Jonah, because now he's been thrown up, he does God's will. He goes and he tells them, you need to repent. God's going to destroy you. Actually, one of the very first preachers that ever did at this church was about this story, because Nineveh, as a population, was around 160,000 people. It's about the same size as the Redlands. And I think about this because there's a moment where Jonah tells them, God's going to burn you. In fact, Jonah brings a really heavy message. He doesn't care if they all die. He wants them to die. But then they do something. They repent. They actually repent, which is great for the Ninevites. But as you can imagine, Jonah doesn't like it. They do not deserve the love of God. I want to read this. This is the moment in Jonah chapter 3 where they've turned around. They've repented, the king himself, they've called the entire city to repentance. 160,000, the whole city has repented. Imagine if Redlands in a moment came to Jesus. Man, we talk about Redlands for Christ. I'm like, oh, bring it on. It says this, after they repented of their actions, their evil ways, it says this in verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. God changes his mind because of repentant hearts. I'm not going to destroy you anymore. In chapter 4, we find Jonah moping about it. I can't believe you changed your mind. I can't believe you do that. And God calls him. He's like, who are you to decide who I'm going to love or not? It doesn't make sense for the Jewish people that God would love an ungodly nation that doesn't have their God. I mean, this is crazy. So Jesus brings it up with the Jewish leaders, a story they hate. And he says, oh, we all know the story of Jonah in the whale, 3 days, three nights. He goes, surely I tell you, there's going to be a greater story when I'm done. And what he's saying is, hey, after 3 days in that grave, you think I'm here just for you? When I come out, the entire world can receive salvation. The entire world. This is the good news. I'm going to show my love to the unlovable. I'm going to do what no one else has ever done. And I tell you now, what I'm going to do is going to blow your mind. Jesus is just telling him straight, I'm going to rise again. They miss it though. They miss it. I love that Jesus literally tells those that are opposing his teaching what he's about to do. And just as he said, he did. And just as he said, he did. You know, today, I have full confidence in Jesus. I believe entirely, with my entire being, that the resurrection of Jesus, him coming back to life, is truth. It's not a myth. It's not a metaphor. It's not just a nice story to comfort those trying to find hope. Jesus' resurrection was real. His death was real. It was physical. Jesus died on a Roman cross. His body was torn apart. He had a crown of thorns put on his head. He was mocked, abused, whipped, and scorned. He died on that cross and was put in a tomb. And 3 days later, he put breath back into that body. He decided what was going to happen with that body. Jesus didn't just revive from some kind of coma. He was resurrected, okay? He wasn't having a nap. He was dead, and he came back to life. Yeah, Pete, come on. How good is you got? This is the good news. And you know, when Jesus came back to life on that Good Sunday, he came back victorious. His resurrected body was not only glorified, unstoppable, untouchable by death again, but But the power of this message is that the resurrection isn't just about him walking out of a tomb. It's all about making us a way so we can walk out of ours. We can leave the death behind. We can leave our past behind. We can start new again with new life in our lungs with Jesus. John 10:10 says this, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And just as he said he would rise again, he did it. You know, I believe the words of Scripture. I believe that everything that Jesus promised is true, just as he said. Today is all about hope. Hope that his words are true. The hope of salvation, being saved from death's power. Today we're going to celebrate baptism in a moment. This is a celebration of people deciding and declaring, my old life is gone. I'm now going to follow Jesus. I'm alive in Christ. This is what today is all about, new life. Like Jesus died, they're going to die today with him. And like Jesus rose again, they're going to rise again. New creations, living that life for Jesus. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:55 to 57, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks to Jesus, the sting of death for those who trust in him and follow him is no more. Death no longer has any dominion. Let me make it really clear. Jesus didn't just survive death. He dismantled it once and for all. He destroyed that thing. He stripped it of its power. He turned the grave into a doorway, not a destination. This Easter Sunday, let me declare it again. If you've chosen to follow Jesus, you can stand with absolute assurance because he lives, we can also live. Our past, our sin no longer holds us captive. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we're free. We are free. The kids are there. You can come on in now if you want to come down. If they've got the kids out there, you can feel free to come on in. But I want to say this. As a result of Resurrection Sunday, this is what it does for us, church. The resurrection allows us to understand that our past no longer defines us. Our past no longer defines us. Let me explain it like this. Does anyone remember, for those, put up your hand if you're a follower of Jesus. Just put up your hand if you're a follower of Jesus, right? You're like, I made it, yeah. I often think about what my life was like before Jesus and I go, ugh. People ask me, what were you like before being a Christian? You wouldn't have liked me. No. Here's the thing though, when you receive Jesus, what I did before receiving Jesus is no more. I'm not defined by what I did before. I am forgiven and set free. That's the past. And that's the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection. It allows you to move forward in your life instead of replaying over and over and over in your mind the mistakes you made. God forgets it, so you need to too. God forgives you, you need to forgive yourself and move forward. Your past doesn't define you. Your sin doesn't own you anymore. Those broken mistakes, it's gone. It doesn't own you. It doesn't control your decisions. Oh, but I did this before and I keep thinking about it and I can't stop thinking about it. I'm so sorry and I'm so sorry and I'm so sorry and I'm so sorry and I'm so sorry. And Jesus says, forget about it. I have. I love you. You can move forward. And because of the cross, the grave isn't the end of the story. When you die, you come alive. Like, you are a spirit and a soul. You are more than your flesh and bone. You are more than that. There's so many more of them. Welcome, kids. I've shared this before, but I'll share it again. My grandpa was my hero of faith. He prayed for people up until his last days. He passed away on the 11th of the 11th, 2011 at 11 a.m. Remembrance Day, I'll never forget. But I remember being in that hospital room with him, or his body anyway, after he'd passed. And when you see a body, you realize it's just a shell. He's gone. The spirit and the soul of the man is gone. But I could celebrate in that moment knowing he was more alive than ever before. He was with Jesus. You don't have to fear death. It's just the beginning of eternity with Jesus when you follow him. That's the power of the cross. It's worth celebrating today. Romans 8:11 says, the spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Eternal life is possible for you. The same power that rolled away that stone that Easter Sunday, called Jesus out of the grave, now lives in you. And church, before we get into these moments of baptism where we're going to celebrate people who have decided to follow Jesus, I want to give you a chance to receive the free gift of the love of God. The love of God. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son. He didn't send Jesus to bring you to condemnation and make you feel. He was like, I want to set you free. I want to give you life and life to the full. You don't even know life until you've accepted Jesus. You won't realize the lights go on and you go, this is what living is all about. In this moment, is there anyone that goes, I want to receive that, man. I'm feeling dead inside right now. I've got brokenness. I've got sin in my life. I know that I'm far away from God. I want to come home. I want to know the love of Jesus. I want to accept what Jesus did. He rose from the dead. He can give us a way to eternal life. He says that he's the door. He's the only way. You can't find salvation. You cannot find eternal life through any other God, any other religion, any other form of spirituality. You need Jesus. And all you have to do is say, yes, I accept. I accept that free gift. I want your life, Jesus. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. This is a really personal thing. And maybe you're sitting there today going, as everything you're saying is resonating with me, I need Jesus. I want to start my life with Jesus. I'm leaving the past behind. I'm no longer let sin hold me. I'm no longer going to be a captive to my past. Today I move forward with full confidence and assurance of the love of God, and I'm going to live for Jesus. If that's you today, I just want you to raise your hand. Say, that's me. I want to follow Jesus. Yeah, I see that hand. I see that hand in the middle there. I want to follow Jesus. And on the right there, I see those hands. I want to follow Jesus. Is there anyone else? I want to follow Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want that life. Is there anyone else? Don't let me miss this moment. Like if your heart is just pounding, what the heck is going on? Last service, a lady came here for the first time. Oh, and down the front, the kids down the front raising their hands. I see those kids. But last service, this lady came to church for the first time. She said, I don't know why, but that music, it was stirring something within me. I couldn't help but cry. I don't know what that is. I said, that's the Holy Spirit calling you home, saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. And if you want to receive it just one last time, if you want me to pray with you right now so you can receive Christ and leave here knowing that you know if you died today, you would go straight to heaven. You'd go straight. You don't have to worry about death anymore. No fear. Anyone else, just raise your hand. I want to receive Jesus today. I want that love. I want that experience. Is there anyone else across this room? Yeah, I see that hand. It's amazing. Church, we're going to pray out loud because this is the thing. Jesus says, just repent. Say you're sorry. Accept that I died and rose again. And you will be saved. You will have eternal life. And we're going to pray out loud, church. We're going to pray with those believing and starting their faith in God. We're going to believe that God will transform hearts today, the start of a journey that is the greatest decision of your life. So let's pray. Dear God, church, if God has changed your life, let's pray. All right? Dear God, we thank you for the cross. We're sorry for our sin. We ask you to forgive us. Help us follow you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our